Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Well, welcome to the show. This is the DL Link Show on 101.9 Chai FM, the show where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. First and foremost, Dr. Trudy Smith, gynecology oncologist at Wits Donald Gordon Medical Center, and a senior lecturer at the University of the Witwatersrand. Trudy, welcome back. Always lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So how do you feel about the discussion of chocolate and health all just wrapped together? Does it excite you at all, Trudy?
Very much so. Chocolate's my favorite.
Okay, so just now we'll be talking about the benefits of chocolate. But right now, looking at managing menopause symptoms in breast cancer survivors. So maybe, Trudy, before we start, we can just talk about what happens to the hormones during menopause and why they could be complicated if you are either going for breast cancer treatment or post-breast cancer treatment.
So the word menopause actually just means your last menstrual period ever. But what comes with it is initially in the perimenopausal phase, or the phase before your last menstrual period ever, is you get this fluctuation in hormones. So your periods start to become irregular, and then they eventually, you miss a few, you know, one, two, skip a few. And then essentially the time limit gets wider and wider, and then you have your last period and that's it. But with the wild fluctuations in hormones comes all the other issues. So, for instance, the hot flushes, dry vagina, brain fog, creaky joints, funny sensation under the skin, depression, sometimes anxiety or palpitations. So those are the things that some women, not every woman, but some women feel. And obviously, if you go through menopause through a natural process, it's a slow onset. You don't really notice it. Whereas when you get breast cancer, and you particularly have estrogen receptor positive breast cancer, they stop your hormones immediately. So it's sudden.
So what happens then, Trudy? So you're talking about the kind of treatment you then have that stops the estrogen, and there it is, and now you've got you've got all of these symptoms all at once. And then is it then dangerous to, after having treatment, to then start hormone replacement therapy?
So we generally don't and wouldn't give hormone replacement therapy to women who have a breast cancer that is hormone sensitive, like an estrogen receptor positive breast cancer. And they often put on drugs called tamoxifen or similar drugs, aromatase inhibitors, that block estrogen. So you wouldn't give estrogen because that's like adding fuel to the fire.
Right. So then I suppose we're looking for a far more natural way. I mean, if we even use that term really, but different options for managing symptoms. So perhaps we can just start off with genitourinary syndrome of menopause. And I'm sure I have mispronounced that. Maybe you can just unpack that, please.
So genitourinary syndrome of menopause is a long term that encompasses a lot of symptoms. So one is vaginal dryness, painful sexual intercourse, frequent urination, bladder infections, a sticky, dry vagina, burning vagina, burning vulva. And that's caused by the lack of estrogen. But fortunately, in breast cancer survivors, whether they be estrogen receptor positive or not, we actually are allowed to use estrogen in the vagina in a low dose, and it does not get absorbed into the rest of the body, and it helps with genitourinary syndrome. So we encourage women not to suffer alone and to not feel that they can't get help for their genitourinary syndrome, because it's terrible if you, you know, you already have this, you know, breast cancer, you are really struggling, and then on top your intimacy is struggling, and, you know, down there is struggling. But we are allowed to use estrogen, low dose estrogen, in the vagina.
How does that work, Trudy, so that it's not absorbed in the system, so it's just localized, so there's no danger in using that at all?
No, it is just localized. So I always explain that the amount of estrogen you put in for a whole year in your vagina is equivalent to one tablet. That's how low the dose is. Yet it has a profound effect on the vaginal mucosa, on the vaginal lining. So it helps lubrication, it helps moisture, it prevents bladder infections, it improves sexual function.
Wow. And is it something that, so for women listening, is it something, do they have to go and see their doctor first? Because, I mean, there's no risk. So would they need a prescription for it? Do they need to speak to their doctor?
They can certainly speak to their doctor, but in fact, vaginal estrogen in the form of a pill or a cream is actually a Schedule 2. In other words, you can buy it over the counter.
Amazing. Absolutely wonderful. Good to hear that. Okay, so that's that part taken care of. Let's look at these hot flushes. And I'm sure many people who are perimenopausal have understood just how debilitating it can be. So how what's the approach there?
So, I mean, always lifestyle is important for everything we do, lifestyle modification. So, you know, you need to eat healthily. Alcohol increases flushes, as does spicy food, coffee, you know, generally also a poor diet. So you need to eat healthily, particularly a Mediterranean style diet. Hopefully wear layered cotton clothing. And then you need to ask for help, because there are medications that you can use. You can't use, I mean, the most effective thing for hot flushes is hormones. But we know that the flushes are caused by a change in your temperature regulation in your brain. And that, funnily enough, is affected by serotonin. And serotonin is the happy drug. And serotonin can be regulated. So often we use an antidepressant, not for its antidepressant effect, but before its effect on serotonin receptors. And it can decrease hot flushes, particularly in a lower dose.
Wow, that's interesting. I had absolutely no idea. So a little bit earlier when you spoke about the symptoms of menopause, one being could be depression. You know, you also the anxiety, the brain fog. So there's a lot happening in the brain. So how does, and sorry, I'm just probing here, but how does the fluctuation in estrogen and progesterone impact the serotonin, which is affecting the temperature regulation? That's pretty interesting.
So all of those things are connected. So funnily enough, progesterone has no role in the brain or in flushing. Progesterone's sole job in life is to protect your uterus.
Okay.
It can help you to sleep. It works on GABA receptors from a sleep perspective. But we know, you know, many women want to take progesterone, but it actually has very little effect on flushing. And we also know that the combination of estrogen and progesterone is necessary when you've got a uterus, if you're going to take hormone treatment, because that prevents you from getting a uterine cancer. But if you don't have a uterus, you should not be taking progesterone, because progesterone and estrogen together, actually it's that combination that can increase your breast cancer risk slightly. So progesterone doesn't really have an effect. Estrogen is the stuff that crosses the blood-brain barrier and has a much higher effect on your mood, on depression. Brain fog is often associated with not sleeping because of flushing. And like I said, it also works on the serotonin and the thermoregulatory system. So it's quite complex. And in fact, now we know, which is even more exciting, is it acts on these funny receptors in your brain that is called KNDy neuron receptors, a very long word. But soon in South Africa and in the rest of the world, there are drugs called KNDy neuron inhibitors. So they're drugs that are solely used for hot flushes and have no effect on hormone receptors. So it's an exciting development, particularly for breast cancer survivors who can't take hormone replacement therapy, or other women who can't or don't want to take hormone replacement therapy. This drug, it's called fezolinetant, also a very long word, but will soon come into South Africa. It's available in the rest of the world, and it has no effect on estrogen receptors or breast cancer, etc., but it will prevent hot flushes. So we're excited about that for our breast cancer survivors.
Wow, that's amazing. And truly, when you look at these hot flushes, and I'm sure, you know, everyone is different, but are these hot flushes, is it just a period of time they last? I mean, would you have to be on this kind of medication for months, years?
No, some women, it gets better with time, but there are a proportion of women, like 25% of women, where flushing continues for life.
I see.
And what is also quite interesting in the data is we know that women who flush a lot often don't sleep a lot and often have more brain fog than women who do flush and who don't flush. And we also know that women who flush a lot, I don't know if you know, there was quite a bit of stuff on the news lately about them removing the black box warning from hormone replacement therapy in the US. And because they said that there's a little bit of data that if you maintain your brain health is also important as we age. You know, we should be having, you know, conversations with friends, playing cards, learning a new language, you know, exercising our brain, a healthy lifestyle to try and prevent Alzheimer's and senile dementia. And we know that hormone replacement therapy decreases flushing, gives you basically maybe better brain power, but there was talk that it would improve your brain power, but you know, it's not robust data. So yeah, it's all interesting.
Do you see that in your patients? I know difficult, I'm putting you on the spot because it's difficult to say, but I mean, is that something that people say that after going on the hormone replacement therapy, just as an aside, because I know we're talking about dealing with the menopausal symptoms, but are you seeing that it does benefit?
Well, we know women on hormone replacement therapy who flush a lot, you should only use a drug if you need a drug. I think that's important. You know, we shouldn't be all taking medication for prevention. We should be changing our lifestyle for prevention. But, you know, if you're having terrible hot flushes, night sweats, etc., then, you know, there's a role for hormone replacement in those women, because then they will sleep better. They feel better, you know, in the workplace, they perform better. So, yes, for those women, but unfortunately, if you're a breast cancer survivor and you have an estrogen receptor positive tumor, you can't take those drugs.
Absolutely. And you were talking about the antidepressant, and apparently there's also headache medication, which can influence the thermoregulatory system in the brain.
And what I think is important, particularly for breast cancer survivors, is that they need to be careful because natural is not always lekker, because a lot of natural things actually affect your tamoxifen or your cancer therapy drugs and make them not that. Like black cohosh, etc., we know affect the metabolism of these drugs, and it's a problem.
Well, I think that's a very important consideration, you know, what or natural, which could be affecting. But I believe also when it comes to flushes, that cognitive behavioral therapy can play a role. How do you know
It's
much
there
about
is
that, Trudy?
l Absolutely. There is level one evidence. There is good evidence that cognitive behavioral therapy shows a significant improvement in flushing. Can you believe
That's so
it? It's, isn't
interesting.
it fantastic?
I need to read up more about that because you're working with, as you say, the temperature regulation and doing it fabulous. I'm going to do research. Wow. All right, let's look at osteoporosis. This is this is a real issue as we get older. There are all types of medication out there. What do we do? Would it interfere in hormones? What are your recommendations?
So basically, women who are on a drug called tamoxifen for their breast cancer, in fact, tamoxifen is good on your bones. Whereas the other aromatase inhibitors, that's a different class of drugs, are not so good on bones. But if you want to maintain bone health, in fact, you should be exercising 3 to 4 times a week, at least 30 minutes of bone strength training, as opposed to, for instance, aqua aerobics is not good on bone. Whereas, you know, Pilates, walking, running, weights, those kind of things are good on bone. So there's nothing better than those lifestyle things for your bone. While we know hormone replacement therapy is good on your bone, but we shouldn't be using hormone replacement therapy just for bone.
Exactly. Like take it and then not go to the gym. And because everyone talks about, you know, when you reach a certain age, you've got to be lifting weights. That's where you've got to be doing it. Trudy, Mike just sent a message and he said, my girlfriend has been going through menopause for about 18 months, still having hot flushes and waking up a few times a night. Do you have any suggestions?
Well, I mean, she needs to, if she's struggling, she needs to seek help. You know, I mean, obviously, if she has no risk factors and she can take HRT, then HRT is the most effective thing for menopausal symptoms. But, you know, if there are contraindications to the use of HRT, there are alternatives.
Is 18 months a long time to be going through menopause? Is
No,
that
she
because
could
it's the
flush
perimenopause?
forever.
She could, yeah,
Well,
as you
the
said, yeah,
problem
she could
is she
flush
could
forever.
flush forever. You know, 25% of women will flush forever.
I'm
And
just
why should
looking.
they
So,
suffer
Mike,
and have such a miserable life?
yeah, and that's awful. So, Mike, I think that going to see a doctor, because maybe the hormone replacement therapy, as Trudy said, if there are no issues with hormones, that would be, you know, way to go. But also, just to unpack a little bit more, Trudy, besides the cognitive, when it comes to hot flushes, but besides the cognitive behavioral therapy, there are also benefits, when it comes to acupuncture.
So it has some benefits. We don't have what we call level one evidence, but there is some data. But we also know a lot of things have a placebo effect. So, you know, it's effective more because I guess we believe it's effective.
Or it is.
But yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
But I mean, I suppose as we are talking to, breast cancer survivors, and so we're looking at all of these.
So it's
all,
really,
that you could
it's
do.
Worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the most important thing is do no harm.
Yeah. Do no harm, and but do whatever you can. I mean, as Mark was saying, 18 months, hot flushes, waking up a few times at night, it's debilitating. That can give
you
the brain
fog, do you know,
the depression,
no sleep,
right?
No sleep makes you anxious, depressed,
yeah,
put on weight,
yeah. Yeah.
Low mood, lots of things.
Yeah. So important, Trudy. Thank you so much. So we've looked at those three areas. Is there anything else that you like, important messages that you want to put out there? I think very important what you said when it comes to dietary supplements and herbal remedies. People must be very careful if they are on medication that there are, no contraindications, or if it decreases the effectiveness. That was really important. Can you think of anything else that perhaps we haven't covered?
I think what most important for me is that don't be a silent sufferer. There are alternatives. You can have that discussion with somebody who's going to hear you and not just write you off and say, well, there's nothing we can do. You've got a breast cancer. You can't take anything. We can't sort it out. I mean, there are alternatives, and there are ways of trying to overcome each and every single symptom, whether it's the creaky, painful joints, the mood, all of those things. Because I think often as women, we think we must just suffer in silence, And I think that's not true.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And also, I mean, you were talking about I've got here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 symptoms. But I think I heard you mention before, there are so many more menopausal symptoms. There are so many more. And I think that as women, as we get older, we very often think that this is, this is the new way of living with all the discomfort and things come up. And as you say, you do not be a silent sufferer. Reach out, see a doctor.
Absolutely. And the other important thing is to make sure, you can't, a lot of women blame everything on hormones, but that's also not true. Maybe you've got thyroid dysfunction. Maybe you've got something else wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't wait. See to it, as you say, don't suffer silently. Trudy, as always, such a pleasure having you on the show. You always have this ability to break things down and make it simple, because if I can understand it, then everyone else can understand it. So thank you so much. Take care, and look forward to chatting again soon.
Speak soon. Bye.
Thanks. Bye. Dr. Trudy Smith, gynecology oncologist at Fitz Donald Gordon Medical Center, and also senior lecturer at the University of the Witwatersrand.